A few years ago, I worked with a priest who on the fourth Sunday of Advent referred to himself in his sermon as a Christmas Nazi. Someone so determined that his family was going to observe Advent to the full that no decorating occurred in their household until Christmas Eve. I grew up in just such a family. From my earliest years, I remember lighting our Advent wreath all through December as we sat down to dinner each evening. I think the only early decorating we did was to put a wreath on the door. We all went together to buy our tree during the last week, but it lived in a bucket of water on our back porch until the afternoon of the 24th. It was all part of our family ritual, waiting until Christmas Eve, then setting up the tree, watching as my father put on the lights, the four of us children hanging the balls as high as we each could reach, replacing strategic lights with the tall ones that bubble. We always ate the same meal each year there in the living room as we decorated, and which I also did, unfortunately, last Friday and not yesterday. Tomato soup in mugs and cheese melted with beaten egg broiled on a split Kaiser roll until it was puffy and lightly browned. We had a couple of figures that held bubble lights in their hands that went on the fireplace mantle, one a plastic Santa and the other a snowman. And then there was the creche scene, the stable, the manger, Mary, Joseph, the donkey, and a cow. We had shepherds and a small flock of sheep, several of which tended to tip over rather easily. And there were two angels, one that hung from the top of the stable and another who stood looking on. All these were arranged carefully together while the Magi, their servant, and the camel were across the room waiting to begin their journey. Only after we came home from midnight mass did the baby get laid in the manger. I have no memory of when we first had the creche or whether we ever set it up without the container that my father built for it. Yes, unlike anywhere else I knew of, our creche lived not just on a side table or a shelf, but in a glass box on our sofa end table. Imagine an aquarium built with wooden corners and bottom and the usual glass sides. I have no idea if he built it to protect the creche from small children and pets, though our cat did get in it on one Christmas, or to protect us from it. Small children do tend to stick the most unlikely things in their mouths. Either way, it made the whole scene, once it was set up, something that was only to look at and not to interact with. It was there to see, but not to touch. And this somehow made it too easy to stay at a distance and not to be touched by it. Too easy to lose the radical physicality and immediacy of the incarnation of God made flesh, the same flesh as mine and yours, and here in our midst. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is not the story of beautifully carved wooden figures or hand-painted ones in pristine clothing posed still and silent in their carefully arranged setting. This is also not quite the story of our wonderful children's pageant yesterday afternoon. This is the story of a very human man and woman displaced by the command of those in political power and traveling on foot 70 miles to Joseph's ancestral hometown. That's at least 3 or 4 days of walking on dusty dirt roads. To be safe on the journey, they would have traveled with other people. There would be all the noise of their conversing with others, sharing their stories of where they were from and where they were going. There would be children cavorting or whining, and animals traveling with the caravan as well. And perhaps Mary and Joseph had a donkey. They would have arrived in Bethlehem tired, dirty, hungry, and willing to stay anywhere out of the elements. Imagine the sounds and the smells, not just the images we see so often. Picture a young woman giving birth to her first child in such a setting, far from her mother and sisters. There is pain and fear and sweat as the hours of labor pass. We never hear whether there were women to assist or perhaps even a midwife. There is the messiness of the actual birth. And only then is there joy when the child emerges whole and sound, is bathed in whatever water they can find, and is swaddled in bands of cloth and held for the first time to his mother's breast. Somehow, this is not the same picture that the carol Silent Night conjures up, or at least not until they have all fallen asleep, exhausted. And who is first to hear the news? Shepherds, one of the lowest classes of people, dirty and smelly from living in the fields with their sheep. It is to them that the angel brings the incredible news, not necessarily because they are worthy, but because God invites them. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And once they get over their fear and astonishment, we are told they go with haste to find the child, the Messiah. Can you see them deciding who will stay with the sheep and who will rush off to town to see this wondrous thing? See them pushing in to see the child, startling the animals and the new family. And they find the baby just as the angels told them. They don't seem at all put off at finding the Messiah in such an unexpected place. They are so excited that they can't keep it to themselves and tell everyone they meet afterward about their experience and return to the fields full of praise to God. This is the child we are here this morning to welcome, the Holy One made flesh, who comes to all the gritty reality of human existence, who chooses to be made known to the poor on the margins of society, who does not want to be placed behind glass panels, unable to be touched or to touch you in the deepest recesses of your being. Those places it's hard to let any light into or to believe can be made whole. This is the one who doesn't mind a little dirt, who comes to make all things new, who reminds us that we are fully known and deeply loved, who invites us to step out of what is familiar and comfortable, to open ourselves to new possibilities, whose messengers remind us not to be afraid. This is the God who invites us to the manger and sends us home changed people, burning to share this wondrous news with everyone we meet.